This coming Shabbos is going to have the wonderful opportunity to read Parshas Vayishlach. And of course, the Parsha describes in great detail Yaakov Avinu's arrival back in the land of Israel. And we're told that in the process, he was getting ready to deal with the battle with his brother Esav. And so he declares to him, Vayihili shor vachamor tzon ve'eved v'shivcha. I have an ox, I have a donkey, sheep, a servant, and a maidservant. Why doesn't Yaakov Avinu mention camels? After all, he's going to send camels, so why doesn't he mention them? So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter Shlita quoted the Meshech Chachma, who explains that the original purpose of creation was only lehitiv, was only to do good. And after Chabas sin with the Nachash, the concept of Tumah became apparent within the world. At that point, it became the job of the Jew to do Tov in the face of Esav, and B'nai Esav, who are bent on achieving Ra. And so hence the argument that Imla Bangarti, V'tarig Mitzvah Shamarti, that I kept the mitzvahs. A fitting contrast exists between Shor, Chamor, Tzon, Eved, and Shivcha, which are distinctly categorized as either kosher or non-kosher, as opposed to camels. Camels are not so distinct. They are at least nearer one way as kosher and not in another way. So Yaakov wanted to point out within his message that I'm Tov and you're Ra, and that's the way we proceed. But to leave a message and an impression that it would be anything else would be a challenge as to who Yaakov was and the message he was trying to send. Then we read, Katonti mikol ha-chasodim u-mikol ha-emes. When he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he declared that he is too small. Katonti mikol ha-chasodim u-mikol ha-emes. So, Harav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, and the Fir Drashis points out that the land of Israel is also identified as chesed and emes. It's the land of chesed, because without chesed, the land becomes filled with sinah. At the same time, it needs to be a land of emes, because otherwise it would be filled with tumah as well. And so, in order to keep the land not tamei and not sanui, the land of Israel mimics the raison d'etre of the Jewish people to maximize the elements of emes and chesed and emes. And so that's what Yaakov Avinu identifies, mikol ha-chasadim u-mikol ha-emes. But still, notwithstanding, he was going to be able to put the two pieces together and achieve and maximize on both. So Yaakov, of course, crosses Mabar Yabok, and the night before the grand meeting with his brother, this great meeting of two parallel forces, Yaakov Avinu stays up all night and fights the Malach. And when he gets up in the towards the end, the Malach gives him a bracha, and he tells him, "You will be known as Yisrael ki sarisa im Elokim b'manashim. You fought with angels and men." Sarat Sabato Shalita, the great Rosh Yeshiva Malei Adumim, points out that Yaakov is actually the role model among the Avos that speak to those of us who deal with internal tests, and we come through those tests on top. So using Yaakov as a model, those who deal with struggles, and to be quite honest, I don't know anyone who doesn't. So when we deal with struggles, we tend to grow from the experience of those troubles. This often opens the path to Avodas Hashem. Rav Kook Zatzal's notes Rav Sabato. Rav Kook notes that this is why we bow at the beginning of Shmona Esrei, because at that moment we're trying to break free from our Yetzirah. At that moment in time, we're trying to show that we're different, and thus we submit to Hashem and rise on His name. We go Baruch Atah, and we come up on Shem Hashem. That's what picks us up. And thus, although Yaakov emerges from the experience as Yisrael, the winner, he's also still Yaakov, the one who's going to continue to claw from challenge to challenge and from strength to strength. And so therefore, there's no contradiction between the names. And then, of course, Yaakov finally meets Esav, and he bows down seven times, Ad Gishto Archiv, until he gets to his brother. So the great Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shalita notes that Yaakov Avinu realized that in order to defeat Esav, he needed to recognize that he, Yaakov, had no hatred towards Esav. And so quoting Rav Mordechai Schwab Zatzal, Rabbi Reisman explained that the seven bows brought him into contact not with Achicha Esav, your brother Esav, who's a warrior, but only Ad Gishto Ad Achiv, until the warrior enemy Esav was gone, and all he had was his brother in the process. And so the discussion begins between Yaakov and Esav. And Esav, of course, says, Yesh li rav, achi yehi lecha shalach. And Yaakov says, no, ki chanani elokim v'chi yesh li kol, I have it all. Now, Esav notes that he has rav. Yaakov learns that he and responds that he has it all. So what does Yaakov Avinu mean when he says chiyesh li kol? He certainly can't be speaking about physical items because he had no interest in those. And when can one actually say that in inyanei ruchnius, in spiritual matters, indeed I've completed it all and I don't need anything else? So maybe we can suggest that perhaps Yaakov wanted to make it clear that he had his priorities straight, and this is all he needed to guarantee success in life. Didabe, kulabe. If you have this, you have it all. Delodabe, if you don't have this, samai base. What do you have in life? After this episode, Yaakov Avinu comes to Sukkos, and he camps outside of Shechem. And of course, the famous episode of Dina and Shechem happens. And at the end of the episode, Shimon and Levi wipe out the city. And Yaakov and Shimon and Levi engage in a debate as to why they did what they did. Yaakov declares, "Acharta mosi, you embarrassed me. Labisheni biyoshev aretz baknani ubaprizi, in front of the Kanani and the Prizi. And if you, you know, if we didn't do anything, so they're going to come and they're going to stone me." And yet Shimon and Levi respond, "Hachazona yasa sachusenu." Now, what kind of answer are Shimon and Levi providing to Yaakov Avinu's concern? And even while we talk about Yaakov's concern, why is he so worried about what everyone thought of him anyway? Either you do what you do is correct, or you don't. So Sephorno notes that Yaakov Avinu thought that although the brothers may have been justified in destroying the entire city, the way that they appeared to be disingenuous in demanding that the men receive a bris was a problem, because they would be accused of being dishonest and ruthless, and the persecution against the Jews was going to continue. And so therefore he felt they should have been more thoughtful before they acted. And this is his argument, Labisheni Bioshev Aretz. But the late great Revelius Vezatzal explains that in their eyes, Shimon and Levi responded from the perspective of what would be said in the Batei Medrash, what would people say in the Batei Knessios, and citing the Targum Yerushalmi, that that's exactly what Shimon and Levi were thinking about, where the Chilul Hashem would be much more apparent than what it would be in the eyes of the Kanani and the Prizi. And so, Yaakov and his sons were actually differing on where the focus of Chilul Hashem was to be, and to seek to minimize it at all costs. And this is a serious concern. After this episode, we finally hear about the end of Esav and Esav's departure off the stage of the destiny of Bnei Avraham Avinu. And when it happens, the Torah tells us that Esav took his children and his wives. Vayelech al eretz mipnei Yaakov achiv. Esav takes his family and goes to a different land because of his brother Yaakov. And Rashi explains he went because he was embarrassed. So Reb Gershon Liebman Zatzal, the Mashkiach in France, he explained that Esav realized that as the son of Yitzchak and the grandson of Abraham, he thought he should have achieved more in life. He thought that his job was to have achieved more. However, in the end, it was the Batlan who was the Chacham. And that very embarrassment, which led him to be known as Esav the Red, for his selling of the Bechorah for red lentils, made him want to run away. However, rest assured that while one thinks that he or she can run away in this world, one cannot run away in the world of truth. And so, therefore, in that place, it's Yaakov and Yaakov's style, the style of the Chacham, that will forever dominate in the future. Something for us to think about. Finally, in the Haftorah, which comes in the book of Ovadia, there's a difference of opinion which Haftorah we lay in. But we read the entire book of Ovadia, which is a grand total of one perek and a nevuah, from one of the Bnei Esav who was Megayer, about the future of Edom. And there we're told, "Ubharshitzion tiyeh pleita," and on Harzion there will be a refuge. And Rav Dov Lior Shalita explains that one needs to recall that with all of the anti-Semitism throughout the world, and even post-Holocaust and with the founding of the State of Israel, one needs to simply open his or her eyes to see the incredible Ashgach of Hashem in the world. He or she can get it, will be zocha to see the Yeshuos of Hashem, which include the great consolation that our Nevi'im speak of. We need to rise up and realize, if we rise up and see it, then on that day, Hashem's name will be unique and singular in this world, and His name will be one, Ushmo Echad, and Be'ezos Hashem, we'll all be zocha to see it together. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us not only a Shabbat Shalom, but a Yom Shekulo Shabbos U'Menucha. l'shalom l'chayei olamim. Shabbat shalom to all.